lady who couldn't even lift a flower with her left hand, must be right hand all the time. This thing is kept on the left hand, left palm, and the worship is done with the right palm. Right, number one. Number two, whereas she would not do it on certain days of the month and so on and so on. Here, no such restriction. No restrictions at all. And they say that if wearing this, you even talk of purity and impurity, my God, blasphemous. As long as it's there on somebody's body, is all the time pure. And in there, in that sect, something which I admired was that they have no mourning.
Mourning?
No mourning at all. Someone wears this and he passes on. They say he has been taken by Shiva.
A Shivalinga.
He has gone straight to Shiva's abode. And so why mourn for him? Why weep for him? Rejoice. I saw this happen, literally. That's what really impressed me. 1969, when I went to Mysore, as we were driving along the main road in Mysore, I saw a procession coming. Usually, when they have these deities in the temple, they usually take the image around on certain days of the month, of the year. I thought it was a procession, because it was a lovely, beautifully decorated thing and so on, and band, music and singing and dancing, and all sorts of things are going on. And I asked this, my friend, stop, I would like to take a look and see what it is. He said, no, Swami, it's not a procession, it's a funeral procession. Funeral, they are doing this? He says, Lingayat. There was nobody who was sorry, nobody who was crying, nobody who was weeping, I don't know who died. It's all celebration. And even the body is not kept lying down, kept sitting up in, you know, the lotus position. The body is propped up, made to sit upright, garlanded heavily, like a deity being taken in possession. That's their belief. That one who worships the Shivalingam is untainted.
Are all lingams Shivalingams?
Yeah.
It is the Shivalingam.
Yeah, right. And incidentally, the word Shiva means auspiciousness, good, something that is good. So Shivalingam is a manifest symbol, a characteristic symbol of auspiciousness.
How do the Lingayats, how are they different from, say, Satya Sai Baba people who also worship the Lingam, and
yeah,
the Lingam was worshipped at Brahmana Ashram?
Right, but they don't wear it all the time on their body, number one. And number two, these Lingayats do not care to look at any other religious symbol. For instance, they wouldn't go to a Shiva Krishna temple or something. To them, Shiva is Shiva and nothing else.
Mm.
All the rest is junk. Fanatic, terribly fanatic.
Would you go over again what you said this morning about the Vishuddha after the heart-centered, something about purity?
Yes.
That you can
purity is attained only after the contact with the Divine is made in the heart center, and by the grace of God, by Divine grace. You believe in God or don't believe in God. By grace, it is only by Divine grace. When this consciousness is lifted from above, from the heart center, above. You may reach out to it, but it's still without grace, it's not possible. Below that, it's more or less all self-effort, let's say, arbitrarily. Some people may say even that God's grace is involved. But below that, it is possible for the seeker or the aspirant himself to work towards evolution or self-upliftment. When you lift yourself up to this heart center, which is the center for devotion, emotion, love, compassion, and all the rest of it, Here, it is the divine comes down, the descent of the divine and the ascent of the human meet at the heart. And from there onwards, it is more the grace that leads you on. And it is when, with the help of this grace, the consciousness reaches the throat center, that one is really becomes really pure in thought, word and deed. So that what is called purity is not really something which you can sort of, you know, grind your teeth and say, I am pure. The I am pure is not pure. It is only when there is this interlocking of the human and the divine, and by the grace, by divine grace, when the consciousness ascends above the heart, that is, above devotion, above emotion, above love, above compassion, above hate, nothing. It is then that one can... At that stage, I suppose you don't want to say, I am pure. Realizing that you couldn't achieve it yourself, why boast that you are pure? Huh? When you realize that you couldn't make it yourself, somebody else made it possible for you, why boast about it? And in Vishuddha, at least, there is some self-effort. And from there, one can raise the consciousness to the Ajna. There, the ego sense comes to an end. It's called Ajna because it's the Ajna means command. There you go and await the command of the cosmic being. From there.
Swamiji, what about Gopi Krishna's? Are you familiar with his book? He raised his consciousness all the way up, didn't he?
He doesn't say. He said the consciousness went up all the way, and he didn't do anything at all. Isn't that what he says?
Yes.
Or does it happen now? Accident?
Yeah. And what about people who practice visualization of the energy rays?
You can visualize, but it doesn't go up beyond the Ajna. We have no access. You can howl, you can yell, and you can do what you like. Strangely enough, we were talking of this, the bindu and the triangle and so on. I don't know, some of you noticed the reading from Yoga Vasishtha a few days ago. Also, the same thing is mentioned. That as the beginning of creation, beginning of individual creation, not the original creation. And that is, at conception, also, there seems to be some point and a triangle. And that's why I put it, you know, as it is, though it didn't make very much of a sense to me. I said, I'm not going to tamper with the text, leave it as it is. Maybe somebody else will discover some meaning. Right? If Miss Mayo saw that, it would be apparent, obvious sexual symbolism. But it may not be. I am also told, now, in the Hatha Yoga text called Paduka Panjakam, it's there in the serpent, for the appendix, footstool, something they call it. Five verses on the footstool or something, it's there. That describes the existence of a triangular center, right in the middle, close to the top of the very close to the Sahasrara. And the Guru's feet are said to be meditated upon, or to be meditated upon, at that center. Just beyond that is the Bindu. And it is through that the jiva or soul is supposed to enter. And according to the article which you copied and gave me, it also says that the embryo, as it develops, first, this is what develops, the embryo. Maybe there's some connection with all this. That the human being begins here. And it is through this spot that consciousness or whatever it is, individuality, enters into the fetus.
Can I ask you a question about this morning? You said that which strengthens in the beginning may strangle.
It's really not a quotation from me.
Yeah.
What's the main thing? A famous German philosopher whose name starts with I. If I remember it.
What would this... How would this relate to loyalty?
What brand of tea is that? Brookborn tea. Lipton tea, loyalty. Yeah. What's the difficulty there?
Well, I was thinking like in relationship with people as well as, I know you were saying this with respect to symbols or idols, but it seems like it could apply to people, teachers as well. And how would that work? Where would loyalty come in then? Or is that an issue?
You know, what has loyalty got to do with strengthening? Now, in the case of this, what strengthens me, I am leaning on it. In the case of loyalty, the other person is leaning on you. When you want me to be loyal to you are leaning on me. So the problem is yours, not mine.
Love that person.
Then there is no loyalty, there is nothing. There is no tea at all. There is love. Yeah, I mean, if you love that person, the question doesn't arise at all. Do you realize that?
Oh, yes. The thing is, the feeling of love doesn't always remain.
So it's not love.
It doesn't always animate every action.
Then it's not love. You're reinterpreting what the right hand does, let the left hand not know. The right hand loves you, the left hand is about to smack you.
But you were saying that the reverse...
If there is love, madam, the love fills my whole being.
Yes.
That's all. There's no question asked, and it is never absent. Yes, sandalwood?
Yes.
Huh? So, the question of loyalty or disloyalty, etc., doesn't arise at all where love is concerned. And as a matter of fact, we are not looking for a strengthening support if there is love. No. The strengthening support is is called for by a weakness in me. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
This is a completely different, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely different structure. And I lean upon this thing for strength. Now, what does that say? I am leaning upon that for my strength. What does it say? I don't know what it says. And if it knows that I am leaning upon, if a person, let's say, a teacher, a school teacher. So. I go to her to learn English. She knows I am going to her only to learn English. As soon as I have finished my course of learning, I walk out, that's all. She's not worried about me. There's nothing, there's no question of loyalty at all here. The relation between the guru and the disciple, on the other hand, is one of intense love. And there's no loyalty, question of loyalty at all there either. The loyalty and disloyalty stuff comes in quite a different context. That is where we enter into a contract. Huh? I think we we played with this word a little while some time ago. Contract means is to contract. Marriage contract means it's contracted. My heart is contracted, your heart is contracted. And we go and get married. And we sign an agreement. And as you and I sign an agreement, at the back of our mind, there is a doubt, disagreement. Why should I sign an agreement, tell me? If you and I agree to marry, to do this, to do that, that's it. Why do I sign an agreement? Because I know there is a disagreement. She may not do what I want her to do, or you think I may not do what you want me to do. So there is already a disagreement. That is when all this loyalty, disloyalty comes.
So what strengthens can strangle later on, does that mean one has to emancipate from...
If you are... No. If I know that I am leaning on this crutch, like for instance, worship of an image, and that sort of ritual, rites and rituals. If I know that I am leaning on this because I am weak, I cannot feel the presence of God everywhere, so I need to feel the presence of God somewhere. I am not in an elevated mood all the time, so I may have to sit and roll my mala beads and etc. to elevate my mind. I see that I need this. Why do I need this? Because I am weak. I need this strength. Where that these things can strangle me is if I become superstitious in the meantime. One day I lose this. And I am worried, oh my God, something has happened to me, something is terrible is going to happen to me. I was told, God has left me. That sort of thing. That's where the strangling comes. Or if I am stuck in it all the time. Or if my view of God or divine is completely confined and limited to this statue alone. I am strangled. I stay there and I don't go anywhere else. So, where, oh, is not allowed to go, where these things are brought in, the idol worship or ceremonies and rituals, they have a valid purpose, they have a valid place in the total scheme of spiritual life, and the inner intelligence must be able to guide. I need this now. There is need for it. Not that I need it. Already I need it. But I should not forget that I am not worshipping the stone. I am not worshipping this picture. No. Through it, the Almighty. Through it, the Omnipresent. I want to experience the presence, the Divine Presence in this, in here. And once I have gained that experience, I must see if I can have the same experience in meeting others. Sometimes it's possible, sometimes it is not possible. I see some nice, good people here and I feel everybody is divine. And then I walk out, go to Nelson and I say, hello, sir. And I say, my God. That's not quite divine. Then I am ashamed of myself. I say, my God, if God is omnipresent, He is present in that chap also. I come back to this, to my statue, to my picture, and continue the worship again. And in that worship, there are mantras which say, God, you are this, and God, you are that, and God, you are this, and God, you are in the good man, and you are in the vicious man, you are in the bad man, you are everywhere. You are everywhere, you are everywhere. And my brain is being washed more and more and more and more. And the next time I go to Nelson and I see somebody tottering, I say, Mother, this God cannot walk straight, yeah. It goes round and round and round till you are able to see this passage specifically occurs in the Yoga Vasishtha, and I saw it in my Gurudev's own life. Can you see God in the person who is coming to assault you and kill you? There is nothing but God, and there, this man is coming. Can you say, hello, my God, how are you? Do it quick. It's only Swami Shivananda who could do that. Marvelous. And I intended to tell you during the worship ceremony also, I have seen only two or three people in the world. There must be many more, hundreds of more. But I have seen only two or three who, when they approached the statues in the temple, had the same expression on their face that which you have when you meet a friend. Swami Shivananda was one of them. Whenever he went into the temple and looked at the statue of Krishna, Shivalingam, or he said, hello, how do you do? Could see that on his face. So that he was not bluffing, that he sees the divine presence there. And, you know, we had a big Shivalingam in the temple in Rishikesh. And people would go there and you are supposed to throw some flowers and whatever it is on the statue. And they would take a particular flower and throw it. It's a stone, it's not going to be hurt. I have never seen Swami Shivananda do that. If he picked up some bale leaves or flowers, he would so gently put it there, it shouldn't hurt. Maybe I throw it on your eyes. It is that feeling of the living presence. If I have that there, then I can have it with everybody else. And in his case, not only did I see that he wasn't upset at all when somebody came to kill him. That really happened once on the 8th of January 1950. Somebody came to attack him. He wasn't bothered at all. So God comes to do all this. And not only that, in his case I have seen that even when he handled machinery, even there his touch was extremely gentle and soft. I've never heard him bang a door. And he did not even walk with trotting steps. Even the footfall was very soft and beautiful. That is when you are able to see God in all. When you are able to see God in all, you are able to see God in the statue also. You are liberated from the crutch, from treating it as a crutch, as a prop. You don't need it anymore. You are free. But freedom does not mean that I don't care for it. Huh? He didn't have a need for this, but he never stopped doing it. He never stopped worshipping Krishna right till the last years. He had his own little shrine in his own Kutir. We had a temple in the ashram, we had a bhajan hall, etc. In addition to that, he had a small shrine in his own cottage. And after finishing his work in the office, he would go there and perform his own worship after bath. Maybe in a very small scale, minor scale, but still it was done. And during the last few years of his life, he couldn't sit down. And so he had that platform raised. And he would stand and do his puja and walk away. Because it is his grace that goes up, not me. I am still helpless. So as long as the I is there, the helplessness also is there. Just one hint and then we'll leave. Most of the scriptures that deal with this puja, worship that you saw, also imply that whereas it's good to do this ritual with material objects, the same puja performed mentally is superior. Manasik puja. One advantage in manasik puja is you can use tons of flowers and your whole market of fruits. It doesn't cost you anything. But they say that is superior because that leads you to contemplation very easily, meditation very easily. The last is called para puja. That is where you treat the whole world as the body of God and all your actions as worship will come to that the last day. Om Asatoma Satganaya Tamasoma Jyotir Gamaya Vrityo Ma Mutam Gamaya Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnam Vrachyate Purnasya Purnamada.